here, but I don't have one, so just bear with me. So it's a bit of an unusual morning this morning. It's not a preach per se. I think I left my Bible at home. Awkward. Anyway, so it's a very different vibe to my usual like exegesis. But as you know, or as most of you will know, last weekend we sent a team of guys on an outreach to Crossways Church in East London. And so this morning's going to be me facilitating just a time of feedback around that. Not only just to stir up your faith and stir up your zeal, and I trust for God to do something in all of us in terms of the importance and significance of outreach, but also just feeling like God wants to actually presence himself with us as we do that. So not just to listen like, oh, he has some cute feedback, yay, clap, whatever, like we usually do, but actually just as people share, we're just challenging us just to position our hearts to go like, God, are you speaking to me? Is this something you're saying to me? Just as we go into a new season as a congregation, feeling like we're going into taking more, going into some of God's promises for us, just to ready yourself to be a person who says yes to God and who hears his voice and who responds in whatever uncomfortable way that might be. So I just want to pray for us as we get started. Lord, thank you for just what you did in Crossways last week, and for what you're doing in us as a congregation. And in many ways, there's so many similar things, God, between us and them, and the journey that you're taking us on, God. And I pray even as we share today, God, it wouldn't just be feedback, God, but it really would be. That's totally boring, to be honest, to imagine just a time of feedback. But actually, when your presence is there, and when it's doing something in our hearts, God, that is something to be excited for. So, God, I pray your spirit would be with us this morning, Lord God, and that there would be a sense of just faith rising up as we listen to stories and what God did both through us as people who went, but also in us as people who went, and what he's saying to us, even about where we are as a church. So I thank you for that, God. Amen. Like I said, there was this impromptu outreach, and it's going to be a bit of more of a narrative, weaving some things through the narrative as we go along. There was this outreach that I announced. Literally, I was driving back. I was doing a solo drive from East London to Cape Town with my two toddlers in the back, just me and them. It was amazing. It was an amazing day, and I arrived back in Cape Town. I got out the car, and I picked up my phone, as one does, as we do as addicts, and I looked, and there on the screen was a message from Ryan saying, hey, East London outreach dates this day. I was like, I've just got back. This is so ironic. Anyway, I decided not to drive again because the drive was entertaining. It was 12 hours of bonding with my kids. It was amazing. There was just this moment of like, my immediate response was like, oh no, I can't go again, I've just got back. And then I paused for a second, and God spoke to me, and he said, yeah, this is it, I want you to go. And then I messaged Kirsten. Kirsten probably also has a testimony from the East London outreach, even though she didn't go, because she actually survived and had to find God in new ways. I'm with three children, three sick children, as I was there chilling on the beach. But so she probably also has a testimony, but we can get her to share that later. but just that moment again, just to say to each of you, that moment that happened for me, as I was, obviously I can't go, and then just pause for a second. Because I think that's the response that most of us give, and is why we don't step into a lot of what God has for us. Because we immediately just look at what's practical and what's possible, and we go like, obviously no. It was like, oh, financially, terrible time, can't go, just got back, it's going to be crazy. I can't miss work in February because that's when I catch up for December. Like all these thoughts just happened, and then I paused, and actually in my spirit it was quite clear. Like God was just saying, now is the time to go. And I messaged Kirsten straight away, and she just responded by like, oh, awesome. That's going to, like, I just said, Ryan just messaged me about East London Outreach in February. That's all I said. And then she was like, oh, awesome. It's going to be great. Well, I can't remember what she said, but she was like, she was just so on board already as well. So just an amazing witness there. And then I brought it to the congregation with, to be honest, Little Faith. It was supposed to be a combined City Bowl Weinberg outreach. And I brought it to the congregation with Little Faith. And there were six of us, plus me, seven from this congregation that went with like 2 or 3 weeks' notice, which I was really blown away by. And even that in itself started to build my faith. Like, hey, God, that's incredible. And in fact, there were seven of us and four City Bowlers. So I was quite like devious and on the outreach, because they kept saying like City Bowl is here. Like, and they even had their slide prepared, like Josh Jen City Bowl, welcome. And I was like, hey guys, do you realize, like, and Jono, the elder there, was even like, hey, we've even got a Weinberg guy, and it's actually like seven, actually. Like, actually, we're outnumbering City Bowl, so just I'm putting that on the record. I don't know if this is recorded, but anyway. I was super amped about that, because I really felt like, it's just so counter what we expect sometimes. And it's bad that I get to that point as an elder of not expecting much, but I was blown away, and my faith just built for what God wanted to do in that time. So what we are going to do is I'm going to get all the guys up here just now to share individual stories just about what happened, but I just thought I'd give you an outline of what did happen so that they at least have a framework when they're feeding back to you. So the outline is Wednesday, I think Jules was there on Wednesday, am I right? Okay, you went there. So Wednesday, only the City Bowlers were there. They got there first. They were frothing at the mouth. They don't work exactly. But so they got there on Wednesday night. They did some input on community. We won't have any feedback on that because none of us were there. Then I arrived on the Thursday morning, and there was a little bit of a fun time on the Thursday where we met with their, like, kind of all their guys that were in full-time employment. Other than Jono, who had places to be, but all the other guys. So it's actually like a really young, it's mostly youth guys, actually. Most of their full-time staff are people who are employed to facilitate youth, etc., amongst the children, teenagers, young adults. We got to hang out at the mall with them. It was cool, and it was quite a lot of fun. And then we had lunch with Jono. And already in those times, it was just connecting, building relationship. And already you could feel like we were just being able to say things and build heart and value and culture as we just met with them and connected with them. The Thursday, is there anything else on the Thursday? I think that's about it. Then we just spent time with our hosts. The Friday morning was amazing. We had an elders and deacons meeting, so the guys took off time off work to meet with us early in the morning, 8 a.m. And they just got to... It's interesting, as churches go through seasons of transition, as we are going through imminently a leadership transition, they are going through transitions of their own. And one of the things that they are trying to transition, it might seem like a basic for us, but what they're trying to introduce is church membership. So the idea that you actually kind of commit yourself and give yourself to a church, and what that looks like, the relationship that changes then that you have with elders and leaders, as opposed to just when you're coming in and you're kind of shopping around and you can agree with this and disagree, and it's kind of like this kind of non-committed relationship. So they're trying to introduce church membership, and it sounds like such a simple thing, right? But when people aren't aligned, it can cause big problems. And it's part of the thing that we as a group of elders, myself and Luke and Ryan from City Bowl, we're kind of talking them through, was just how to actually get a congregation to shift through a change like this. Because what happens is when change comes, all our insecurities rise up and people start to react. And the things that we carry with us from the past, the hurts, the pain, the suspicions, the distrust, all of that stuff starts to react. And yeah, it was a great time as elders just understanding where their church is at and how those reactions are coming. And also just helping them to understand how to shepherd people through that, which was another great meeting. And then Friday night we had a youth event. The guys, shame, the Weinberg guys all came on the same plane, I think, most of them. And the plane was delayed significantly. So they only arrived shortly before the youth event was due to start. But we had a youth event, and for them youth is, I can't remember the ages, but it's basically late primary school, and then it's like half of high school and the other half of high school into young adulthood. There's these three groups. And they were just asking us to play a role in that evening. And I think there was like prophetic impartation times for the young kids. It was awesome. Some people got, I know Ryan Kingsley got blasted with water balloons. He was soaking wet. His kids pummeled him and took out all the anger upon him. But the most important thing you probably need to know from that event is that I won the mummy race. I beat Julian and Luke. Just that is very important to know. The youth wrapped us up in toilet paper and then we had to be mummy. Long story. Anyway, it's always fun when you do youth things, basically. You go into that kind of event. For myself, I'm just going, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to do anything. I'm just going to say yes to everything. Like, it's just how you process it. And you just leave your dignity at the door. Oh my word, I just want to say, Vinica just did this to me, to signal. There's these amazing, like, dance videos that they got the youth to do. It was like Waka Waka and all sorts of things. But then we have to do all these, like, moves. You have to copy anyway. It was amazing. And we ended up, like jet streaming across the church. It was incredible. That was even less dignified than the mummy thing. So thanks for that reminder. So anyway, we're looking forward to that as God adds to us in our youth, that we'll become less dignified. Thanks to them, they'll lead the way. Haka, you look amped. I love it. So that was the Friday, and then the Saturday, we had a men's breakfast. The ladies, I think, connected with hosts, etc. And we had a men's breakfast, and Luke Hulley spoke there. And I just want to say, my life was changed. He knocked it out the park. It was an incredible men's breakfast. I think we called for a response afterwards. And I think virtually every man, I don't know how many there were, between 50 and 100 somewhere, men, I think I looked around, there were three of them who didn't respond to the message, just like repenting. And the message was really about the kind of man that God has called us to be in terms of our leadership in the kingdom. I'm used to hearing so many like masculinity messages in church. It's all like, oh, and everyone has to roar. And like, it was totally not like that. It was really like down to scripture. Like, actually, this is what God has called a man to be. And the place for him to be that is in the kingdom of God and in the church of God. And it was just so powerful. And like I said, everyone responded. So that was just a very satisfying time. And then after that, we went to Glen Eden Beach, which is just such a beautiful beach, and we had such a great time with them, fellowshipping, connecting, spending time with hosts for the rest of that day. And then the Sunday was church, and again, Ryan Kingsley, he preached, and again, he blew us away. I must be honest, it's topics that I always preach on or that I'm always talking to people about, and I was just stunned by how well he delivered it. And it was just about, it was right into that thing, actually, of people are carrying stuff from the past, and he spoke about three things specifically. Now I'm going to try and remember what they are. I've been blank. Someone help me, but anyway, desperately looking at the team, we're all looking in other directions. Hurts, guilt, disappointment. Thank you, Mariska. A-team, right there. She was the one who had a baby as well. I mean, how embarrassing for the rest of us. But he was speaking about guilt, hurt, and disappointment, and how those things come and they shackle us, and how we carry them around like big baggage and causes us not to be able to move with God, especially as God does moves in churches, as he brings new things, as he brings a new leader, for example, in our context, into a church, and he just says, hey, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to go here? You can either run with him or Jesus, or your baggage that says, no, I can't go there, holds you back. And it was just, a time of preaching on that and praying for people that there would be breakthrough in those areas, that as their church seeks to make changes, and that they wouldn't be held back by all the things of the past, that they would lose those things and be able to run with God. And I think, I mean, that is so applicable to us as a congregation as well. And that song that Brian did in the middle of worship now was actually one of the songs about what Jesus has done for us. Rise, your shackles are no more. That was actually one of the songs of the morning that we were singing there in East London. And it was just so powerful what God was doing even in worship, even before the preach. So that's just the context of what happened. I think later on there was an elders meeting again as we just gave feedback and they could give feedback to us about our team, and then there was a prayer meeting, I understand. Jules, you went to that later, where they got to pray for Jono, who's the lead elder. This is another really powerful time from what I hear. So, this is kind of the kind of stuff that happens on outreach. But amongst all these events, what I want to say, and I'll say again later as I give my personal feedback, is that the real heart is what happens in between that. So we just quickly glimpse over the Saturday where we're on the beach and spend time with hosts. But actually, that's where you're building relationship and where you're connecting one-on-one with people. And whether or not you preach or facilitate a men's meeting, in those moments, you're actually able to connect with people and to help, like I said, impart value, impart heart, impart culture. And just speak into their lives, speak encouragement, speak life into people. So maybe the team can just pop up here quickly. Can come stand up here with me. By my count, there should be 7 of us standing up here just now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Awesome. I've asked each of them to prepare to share with you, and I don't know what they're going to say, so I'm going to have to pick up all the pieces of your heart when they're done. And just to thank you guys for being willing to share. Jules, we're waiting for you. This is awkward. Jules wasn't reading his WhatsApp messages, I think. Awkward. Why don't you stand at the end, and then you can have some time to think about it. So Jules is just hearing the Lord right now as to the feedback he needs to give. But thanks for the rest of you guys for checking out your WhatsApp messages. And so this is the team who went. And just to say to you guys, awesome. At a great expense for 2 days. Going on your own steam. No one here was sponsored by the church. You were. Oh, awesome. But not by Josh Jen, but by a saint in Weinberg, sponsored. So someone who couldn't go said, hey, I can't go, but here we go. I'm going to pay for someone else to go. And then straight after that, how awesome is God that the person came to me and said that, and straight after that, Minika's like, I'm keen to go, but I can't afford to go. And I'm like, well, I can solve that problem. So removed an excuse right there. Awesome. So maybe you should start with the couple who will probably need to go at some point in the next few minutes. So why don't you guys share for us? This is Esther and Mariska. Awesome.
8 people. Cool. So yeah. I just want to start off by saying that at the end of last year, I felt God saying that we should do more outreaches this year. And immediately, I was like, cool, I'm going to go to Brazil. God's going to provide a way for me to go. And then Robin mentioned East London. I was like, cool, I'm not going to go. And then I just felt God saying, but wait, that's also important. It's not Brazil, but that's also going to the nations. I was like, oh, I wanted to go to Brazil, but it's fine. I'll go to East London. And then God actually challenged me more, because I originally thought I'm going to go because of the baby. But then I felt God saying, hold on, you should take your family with. Yes, and I was like, God, I don't know how it's going to be with the baby. But I just felt God challenged me on that and trusting him. So just firstly, just want to encourage families. There isn't really an excuse not to take family with. I think it's actually important for family to go with. I chatted to Mariska. She was like, cool, she's keen to go. And then, we decided we're going to go. And then the next step for me, and this is always, not always, but most of the time, this is quite a challenge for me, is finances. So I was like, I'm working this year, she's not working. So from last year, salary's cut in half. I have a bit of savings left, but not much. And now I'm going to have to use that to pay for the tickets. And I was like, oh, man. But again, I just felt God saying, no, like, live with an open hand. Yeah, don't worry about finances. If we put his house first, he'll take care of ours. So I had to kind of, wrestle that in my heart, and we paid for the tickets, and we did it. So that was the next challenge, and this all happened obviously before we went. And then just quickly, just want to speak something that really stood out to me over the weekend was God's faithfulness. So when we got to the airport on Friday, as Rob mentioned, our flight was delayed by quite a few hours. So, we must still learn this, but when you have a baby, you can't just, like, you have to be adaptable, and you have to make sure that you have enough time to kind of get places. So just before we had to check in or check in our bag, she was, like, hungry. So Mariska went to feed her. So that obviously took about 15, 20 minutes. And when we got to our check-in station, like, with our bag, they were like, sorry, but, like, it's closed. Like, you can't, we can't check in your bag anymore. So I was like, lady, we need to check in this bag. And she's like, no, give it to someone else going to East London. I'm like, no one else is going to East London. Like, there's only two flights out, and we're on the last one. Like, what are we going to do? It's like a massive bag with all her stuff in. And so I was like, we need to check this in. And she was just like, sorry, there's nothing she can do. Like, we need to make a plan. So I'm saying, can I speak to your manager? Like, we have to make a plan. I'll pay if there's any penalty fee or whatever, I'll pay it, but this bag must go. And then eventually she's like, Estian, like, if we can't take the bag, then I'll just phone your dad and, like, he'll come pick her and Helena up, and then I just go. I was like, no worries. So I went to the manager. The manager's like, sorry, I can't help you, but you can try to go to ticket sales. So I went to ticket sales. I'm like, guys, like, this is 20 minutes before takeoff, but luckily that was delayed as well, which was great. But I was like, we need to get this bag on, and it was actually quite cool. Lady pops up, takes my bag, she starts running to the airport, like, we're going with Helena behind, and luckily they managed to get our bag on the flight. So that was just so cool for me, just to see God's faithfulness with our bag. That would have been, that would have been hectic. And then the other thing that we were trusting for is, when you fly with the baby, obviously the ears pop, and then they start screaming. And I've been on the airplane where the baby doesn't stop, and it's quite hectic for other people as well. So I was like, God, like, this, like, please, like, this can't happen. And it was actually quite cool. Like, she was fine on her way to East London. She was, like, sleeping. On her way back, she was sleeping. So God has been super faithful with her as well, which was amazing. And the other thing that I learned, as Rob mentioned, I literally got to the church Friday evening, and youth was starting, and, like, it was small kids, and I was just like, I'll just chill at the back and just watch. But it was so cool because Ryan Kingsley, I saw him, and he was, like, rolling around with the kids and, like, playing with them. And as Rob mentioned, he got smashed by balloons, and it was just so cool. So I was just like, it's actually, outreach is actually just about laying yourself and your life and your ministry and what you think you must do and what you feel you must do. It's actually just about laying that down for the sake of the team, and actually just, like Rob also said, just say yes to everything. So that was very cool, and it was quite challenging. I can't remember the last time I had, like, balls, like, thrown at me, and it was hectic and I was exhausted, but it was about laying myself down. So that was quite cool. So whenever we go on outreach, it's not about preaching and it's not about ministry. It is about ministry, but it's about laying yourself down and just doing what needs to be done. And it was actually quite cool because, again, you have this idea in your head that, you're going to pray for people and, like, it's going to be cool. But actually the biggest thing for us was, and she was talking about it as well, was actually just about connecting with our hosts. I remember on the Saturday afternoon, we went to the beach. We went to the beach. I got home. I was super tired. She was tired. Like, Elena was tired. Everyone was tired. And I was like, I'm actually going to take a nap. But then I actually, like, just thought to myself, like, the entire family, they were busy prepping food because I had, like, a burgers night, and they were busy, like, getting ready, and everyone was actually in the kitchen. And I was like, this is such a cool opportunity just to hang out with them. So I was like, God, I'll just trust that I won't fall asleep. And it was quite cool. So they have a great nine boys. So I played some FIFA with him, and like we went for a swim and we just chatted to the host, and that was actually so cool. And like they asked questions about church and we asked questions about their church and their lives, and it was very cool. So and that's actually, I think that's the biggest point of outreach. It's just about going and connecting with the people that you actually live with. And then on Sunday, during church time, as Rob mentioned, Ryan Kingsley spoke about baggage, and Luke and I, a guy came forward, and Luke and I prayed for a guy, and he was just like confessing his sins, like he struggles with alcohol, and he's not a good husband, and like his family's falling apart, but he wants to follow God, and it was actually just so cool praying for this guy. And just realize that, you know, like God wants to use us. We must actually just be open to be used. And I just again realize we don't have an excuse, actually. Like God's heart is for the nations. And I just learned it's not if God calls us for the nations, it's when he calls us for the nations, because we all are called for the nations. It's actually just about trust God with your finances, trust God with your family, just go and do whatever you need to do, say yes to everything. And it really is super blessed. I do trust that as we go and as we are faithful in what God's calling us to do, he'll give us a heart for the nations and for our suburbs and stuff like that. Yeah, cool.
So as Esteban explained everything, Elena was a little champion on the flight, and I think she enjoyed it way more than I did. I was hyperventilating, not feeling well. I'm like, I need a chocolate. It was terrible. And it was so full, like I was a bit claustrophobic, but it was great, like really trusting God, and I couldn't believe that she didn't cry she was great. But then at the Friday night, just as Jules started preaching, Elena started screaming, and it's never ended like that night. Like it just she screamed, 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 and I was in the mom's room, and I was so discouraged. I went home, like on the way, the house is quite far from the church, and she was just screaming the whole way, and we were so embarrassed. I'm like, oh my goodness, but she was so sweet, the host. And when we got there, we took a bath and tried calming her, and she was just screaming. And at the end, she fell asleep, obviously exhausted and just overstimulated. And I found myself, like, doubting, to be very honest, like, doubting why did I come on this trip. And I felt like, yes, just in that moment, like, just saying, oh, Lord, why am I here? And then we literally just fell asleep. And I didn't have that much faith. Like, I was just like, Lord, whatever now, like, I'm done. You must do the work, which is actually a good space to be in. It ended up being so wonderful. Like, I had such amazing, valuable conversations with our hosts. And it was incredible for me because she was just open about the things that the Lord laid on her heart. And just, like, this gift and desires that she has. The big thing I felt to encourage her in is just submitting that under their leadership and under the elders, and yeah, just to model something of that, and just sharing our like personal stories from our lives, which was great. Yeah, so she, I could see she was a bit taken aback and realizing, wow, this is something they need to still work on. And then Isan said, blown away by the Lord's faithfulness. And I realized, like, because I thought, like, oh, how am I going to have, like, this amazing time just praying for people? And, like, Elena's, like, a bit grumpy. And I realized that in the simple conversations, the Lord really used me and even Elena, like, just being with her, like, the people held her and just ended up speaking about being a mom or whatever. And I ended up knowing that that's why I was there, like just being with the people. And I connected with, because we were there 2.5 years ago, connected with a lady there. And it was an awesome, awesome, awesome time. And also, she's also pregnant, her just speaking into her life, like trusting God. And it was awesome. Yeah, so I'm so thankful I went. And I thought the one thing I realized that the Lord can take random car trips, because it felt like we were traveling most of the time. Yeah, and he can use all that for his glory, like just all the small little conversations. And I was encouraged also yesterday, because I spent some time with Tamara, that little conversations he can use for his glory. And that's an encouragement for all of us.
Thanks, guys. You can be released. Thank you. I won't say too much now. I'm just going to hand over to the next one. I just want to say, Minika, I love your sleeves. I don't know if anyone else was enjoying worship and glanced up, and she was standing in the sun, and that whole wall was like a light during worship. It was like gold dust from heaven was falling, but it was actually just the Lord reflecting off Minika. It was amazing. It was my highlight of worship, actually. Thanks. So this is Minika. Sorry, Brian. It was amazing. Lisa, your singing is incredible. But Minika, yes, your sleeves, I love it. So yeah, you're always so much fun. I'm looking forward to what you're going to say.
Well, I think I'll summarize my thing by calling it No Excuses on the back of what yours is as well. So it started with Robin, like, well, when he announced it, I was like, that sounds cool. And I wasn't like, I'm not going to go, but I was just like, it's going to be very interesting if I go, because I still owe my parents money from last year's trip. So, yeah, and then he said someone's willing to sponsor, and then, yeah, I got to go.
I think what actually happened is I pulled a classic Robin Scott, why everyone avoids me at church moment. Minika came up to me to tell me something else, I think. Yes. And she's like, I need to tell you something. He's like, oh, you're going to East London. She's like, oh.
So that's how it started. And then Ryan, I think literally the night before he put this, or two nights before, he was like, this is the plan. And it's like, get involved, or like, share in this thing, like, get involved here, da 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 da. And I was like, what? We literally have like 24 hours to think about this in the midst of a lot of change happening at work and home and everything. And then I was like, well, I'll do it. They asked, I think he asked for us to maybe share at, for me and Lisa, maybe share at the youth thing on worship or joy. And then I was like, okay, I can either go in like all spiritual and say something super profound, or I can just share like how amazing it is when you come with all your shame and all your nonsense and all your insecurities before God and you allow him to love you in that place. So I was like, oh God, I'm just going to go all out, and just that's where I have found the most like depth in my relationship with you, is in allowing you to love me out of my shame and still walking out of it. And I'm going to be on this outreach. I haven't walked through everything that I want to walk through, but I'm going to go and just be there and swim in the ocean and get to know the people. And it was incredible. From that, yeah, also really loved connecting with everyone there, and also very much loved connecting with our team more and hearing Julian's testimony again. I don't know, and I just felt God imparting a deeper part of his heart on like, this is it. This is, I mean, in terms of church life, like this is where it's at. This is where I want you to invest everything. This is my plan. So yeah, just like a real almost settledness in that, and a bigger vision for whatever is to come. Yeah, so that was incredible. And my favorite, I got ministered to as well. The night before we left, we sat with our host around the tables and we all had chocolate. And they adopted a 3-year-old, and then I think they have an 11-year-old, and they're all like super precious about their chocolates. And I had something, and I was like, no, it's fine. And then we were sitting talking, and then this 3-year-old, she like, I just see her giggling, and then she like crawls back to it, and she just like, looks at me. And then I looked down, and she gave me some of her chocolate, and she like just crawled back to his face, and she was like watching for me to get it. And I was like, oh, Jesus. So yeah, that was my most precious being ministered to moment in East London. yeah, I think that's a good summary.
You can sit down too if you would like. Unless you'd like to stand here, it would be amazing. Hi, this is Lisa. It'll be good to hear. I'm going to let you just, I'm going to skip the jokes. You can just go for it.
So, yeah, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to share. And then Robin said to me during worship, like, just come and speak to me before you sit down. And then he said, I actually want you to speak into your frustration on the trip, because it's quite easy to say, oh, these were the highlights. You know, this is what made it amazing. But for me, I was quite well, you kind of gave me the word, actually, but that is the right word. I was frustrated. And I think where it came from was we had these prayer meetings up to, what is it, Tuesday before we went and Wednesday? And God had been speaking some very powerful things about what to expect and what our role as a team was going to be. I mean, there was a picture of us riding in like the cavalry and just blowing apart like the enemy's attempted ambush. So I was like, that is wild. Then we had a picture of like a dam wall where all the, that we've just sensed that East London's like prayers had been going up to the Lord and had been like damming. And so we had this picture of the dam wall splitting and like water starting to come out. So I was like, oh yes, this is going to be amazing. So that was my level of expectation. And we got there on the Friday and we were thrown into 3 back-to-back youth leading sessions, which I have not done in 15 years. So I just was pretty overwhelmed by that. I even got thrown into an impromptu teaching to 6-year-olds on hearing God's voice, which was also very special. So...
Can I just say people's eyes right now, like, from you guys.
So it was just a wild Friday. So also just to give you some more information about me, I love to pray for people and prophesy over them. So that's kind of my, like, love language with the Lord is being able to minister into that way. So I kind of thought, well, obviously we're going to do a lot of that, right? So, and we didn't. But the first night, we, in the youth, like the medium-age youth group, had an amazing time of prayer and prayed for a girl who, it's amazing when you just get like an early intervention in someone's life. Like I think she'd been in a lot of condemnation and God didn't show me what was going on, but I just ministered into the space and she cried and like had a real encounter with God. So that was cool, but I haven't got to the frustration part yet. So yeah, so I think I prayed for 6 people on the weekend, which I was very disappointed by. I really was passionate to pray for more and to really encourage people in that situation. And then the other thing about me is that I, with my prophetic gift, I often get the macro perspective. So like the one-on-one's very cool and that's amazing, but like from a zoomed out perspective, what is God doing? Like that means a lot to me. Like that's very important to me to kind of discern like where is this going? Where, you know, are we lost? Are we on track? Where is this? What is happening? And so on the Sunday, we had a little prayer meeting before the meeting in the morning and I got a few pictures. And so Robin also pointed out that there were some similarities between that church and our church, and I felt like I need to share those for us as well. So, sorry, I keep wanting to use my hand, but I don't want to spill the water, so I'm going to... So the first picture that I had for East London, which I believe is also for us, is I felt like the Lord say, the earthquake's coming, and we need to upgrade our infrastructure, because in countries where they expect earthquakes, they've changed the way they do architecture so that when the earthquake comes... you actually don't get destroyed, but you roll with it. And so I felt that infrastructure meant not we need a new building, but our relationships need to get some more lubrication and some more Holy Spirit in them and some more love in them, because that's the thing that's going to help us roll with these earthquakes. Because God's promised us, like, persecution's going to come, stuff's going to come, but just be prepared. So I felt that for them, / us. And then the second picture that I had was God presenting a series of doorways to us this year, them, / us. This year, but they weren't automatic. We aren't automatically going to just step through these doorways. Like, we need to rely on God's grace and mercy because we can miss it. And unfortunately, every church has missed things that God wants to do. So I just saw this for them and I was like, oh, Jesus, we need to pray for them. Like, grace and mercy, we can't miss these doorways that are coming. Like, if we miss them, it's shock. It's going to be terrible. It's not miss them. And then the third thing I felt in the Sunday meeting while Ryan was speaking was, God wants to smash pedigrees in our church, / their church. And that somehow, I don't know if it's like a religious thing, because we all come from weird religious backgrounds sometimes, but that we think some people are more spiritual and, you know, they should be used first and God's obviously going to flow through them before me. And God just wants to smash that. That's not even in the Bible, guys. Like, that's not biblical. Relying on people, other people to be involved in the kingdom and to do what God wants to do. So I just felt that those are 3 things for them, / us. And the last thing that I left with was just this burden to pray for them, because we didn't really get to pray for them as a team, and that was, like, just frustrating me. So, yeah, I just have left that with this burden to pray for them and to be like, they can't afford, like, the church, the kingdom, the world can't afford to miss these doors that are coming our way. And it's through prayer, right? It's through submitting to Jesus, hearing the Holy Spirit, being responsive. So, yeah, that is my unusual angle on the weekend.
Thanks for sharing those words. And I think they're so relevant, actually, to where we're at as a church. Again, I was just there, and I was just astounded by, like, the church in transition and the church in transition and so many parallels of what God was doing. And also so helpful in that context to have someone there who's got that macro view, because what you're doing is, like, partly you're doing the minutiae, like, where is this going? And I think one of the other things that I've learned going on outreach myself is that when you go on an outreach, if you come from a healthy church and you go to another church, what happens is you go there and you immediately can see all the things that are wrong and all the things that need to change. Like, it's so clear to you, and you want to come and you're going to be like, ah, bam, 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 bam. But actually, you've got to be able to just go, like, God, what are you doing now? Like, and I think even coming into Weinberg 4 years ago, I came in from City Bowl, and I came in, I could see so many things immediately. And everyone, and in the congregation, you're always getting feedback from people as an elder. You're always getting, this is not right, and this is not right, and this is not right, and this is not right. What are you guys doing about this? And what are you guys doing about this? But actually, it doesn't take a lot of spirituality to see what's wrong, but what it does take spirituality for is to hear what God is doing, like what he is fixing, like what is God behind right now, and to be able to move behind that. So I just thought it was so important to get that perspective of how when you go, you can see stuff. And it's about taking that and going, God, okay, what are you doing? What does that mean for right now? Like, where are we going right now? And it's so helpful to have that voice as well as you go, just to affirm that as well. And yeah, so yeah, that's what I have to say. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Sadly, I haven't prepared very well for this. I'm just gonna blag it. I focused on the worship prep. You saw I was involved there earlier. yeah, I, this is my first outreach. I'd never been on an outreach. And also last year, felt we really should go on an outreach. And this time I went on my own. But I think next time I'll try and bring my family. Yeah, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. It was almost like taking a weekend away. Like, Saturday was just great. Like, loved the men's breakfast and what Luke had to say. And swimming in the ocean, like, I love doing that. I hardly ever get to do it. Yeah, it was just cool getting to know our hosts and hanging out with our team and with their team. I think kind of the thread that I'd like to talk about is kind of generally how one feels about going on a ministry trip or being involved in ministry when one feels unworthy, or like, what do I actually have to offer? What can I go and give people? Yeah, and I think it was quite a healing process, actually. This is so weird. I didn't think I was going to get emotional about this, but like, sort of being with people in ministry, like professional ministry people, and on the spot, like, you guys do that. You lead worship. You like prophetically activate six-year-olds. You like bring a word or whatever. It's quite demanding. It's quite like hectic. Like, I don't know if I can do that in the moment. But I just realized how, like, all of these guys, these, like, elders and stuff, they're just like us, actually. Like, they're just normal people. You also often feel, like, put on the spot, like, what? You want me to do that? And it was just like healing in that sense. I was just like, I got to pray with Jono, the guy who leads the church, just because I happened to be sitting next to him on Saturday morning. He prayed for me. I prayed for him. I was like, okay, he has some stuff that I need to pray into, and I have some stuff he needs to pray into, and we're very, like, equal in that sense. We're just people, like, who need God, and who God, by his grace, may use in a role or a function. We're just people. And for me, that was quite significant, because it was like, I can actually do this stuff. I can go on these ministry trips and pray for people and try my best, because that's ultimately all anyone's doing. What else? Yeah, and also just to be ready, like to be willing to go with the little inkling you might have that God has just given you a picture or something he wants you to share, or to go up to that person and pray for them. Like, when you're put in that context, you can't shrink back because you're the ministry team. You're here to do stuff and to help people. And I think we tend to sort of like sit back and wait for other people to do it, because it's like, surely they're more qualified, or they've been prepped, or God's definitely spoken to them. Like, actually, that's also nonsense. Like, we all like see in part, and we all have a measure of faith that God wants us to use. And if you have the slightest inkling that God has said something, come and share it with the elders. Like, it's the worst that can happen is they'll say, maybe, or like, they're never going to like shoot you down or like tell you you don't hear God or whatever. So that was also really healing for me and cool. And so then on the Sunday morning, and that was probably the kind of felt the most significant thing I got to contribute to, was just in worship. We were like, the worship was cool, the band was good, and we were singing some nice songs, but it felt at one point kind of it had reached a plateau, and I just felt like we were singing things like Hallelujah and He Breaks Every Chain and whatever, but I wasn't sure about the reality that we actually believed that or felt that as we were singing. Like, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean that Jesus breaks every chain? Who is Jesus? Why do we love him? Why are we here to sing to him? What are we doing? And I think we can like go into autopilot when we come to church and just like sing the song, sit down. Like, what are we saying? And who is it that we want to meet with? And who is God? Why do we love him? What has he done for us? And I've read this scripture before, and I think it's just the most like profound scripture. Revelation 5, where it talks about, maybe I should just read it. Inevitably, when I read this, I start crying. Yeah, and this is another thing. Like, you can, I do cry a lot in my life. So it can, you can start thinking, is this just my personality? Do I just cry for no particular reason? But I prayed about it afterwards, because I cried when I read the scripture, and I just felt God say, "No, that was my anointing on you." Okay, so. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." I mean, like, if you know what that's about, that is, we don't have to cry about our unworthiness. We don't have to cry about, yeah, the fact that like we were without hope, we were without possibility of redemption or forgiveness, and we were like lost, all of us. I think we need to like confront that often. Like, we were without hope, and we were unworthy, but he is worthy, and that's why we worship him. And that scroll with the seven seals, that wraps up history. That's like the end of everything. That's where this is all going. And if it weren't for Jesus, like, we would be like in real trouble. We would spend eternity apart from God, being tormented with the demons. And that's who Jesus is. That's why we sing to him. That's why he's worthy of our worship and our attention, at least our attention when we come here on a Sunday morning. And I mean, I'm as bad as anyone in terms of sometimes clocking out and like, okay, just sing the song. But please, let's not do that. Please, let's try and find who it is that we're singing to, and remember why he's worthy and what he's done for us. And I just trust that God will use that. Just trust that God will use you. The measure of revelation he's given you, trust that he will use you.
moment?
To respond.
Okay, cool. Cool, so I'm just going to scrap my feedback. But I really felt like God, like Jesus just stepped into the room here, and it's actually not about like us and what, like exactly what Brian was saying, like we're not here. I mean, I don't have to share my feedback, but I really feel that there are people here today that maybe for the first time you've never heard this about this Jesus, like this incredible person and God of the universe that actually stepped in and is able to take sin away from us. We've got a huge problem of sin, actually, if we're honest, people. And I just actually just felt, I'm just going to share just a little bit of a dream I actually had last night, and it was this, it was quite a shocking dream. It was actually this, I woke up quite freaked out, but it was this creature, like this ugly creature, and he was saying like the word sex, and I was like, but it was like this, it was this other, it wasn't a normal person, you know, and I was like, what does this mean, God, like this, but actually this is the problem of sin. It's something outside of me that I can't do anything about, but Jesus has come to be the solution. So I really felt like that sin doesn't define us. You guys, there might be people here this morning that are actually struggling with this thing of sin, but God is saying, like, I have come to overcome sin. I've come to break the power. It doesn't define who you are. Even if you're sitting with sin right now, Jesus is here to break the power of sin. So we want to create an opportunity. So maybe we can just close our eyes and pray. It'd be great just to ask God to come. Oh, Lord, you're awesome, God.